Yo, what is up, Ramblin' Raiders listeners? Welcome back to today's podcast. Before we get going, we'd like to give a shout out to our sponsor for this episode. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Shane Bergeson with Stanfield Properties. Listen up, you know, for anyone here in the greater Houston area, if you need help finding the right home to fit your needs, our boy Shane Bergeson is the best, and I do mean the best realtor Houston has to offer. Shane has made a name for himself as the go-to guy for residential properties and has helped countless residents from Friendswood, Pearland, Shenandoah, Conroe, Galveston, and League City. He's helped them find the right homes to suit their living situations. Guys, whether you are looking to upgrade, downsize, relocate, or your forever home, Shane Bergeson with Stanfield Properties will find the perfect match for you. I guarantee it. I know Shane personally, as we have grown up together and remained close over the years. He's one of my best friends, and I truly mean this. I cannot think of anyone I would rather recommend than Shane when it comes to customer service and having a hard work ethic and just being an upstanding young gentleman. I know when I decide to find my first home, I will be using Shane as my realtor, automatic, take it to the bank. Reach out to Shane on his direct line at 832-206-4495. Again, 832-206-4495. Or you can email him at Shane, S-H-A-N-E, at Stanfield, S-T-A-N-F-I-E-L-D, properties.com. We at Ramblin' Raiders are proud to partner with Shane Bergeson. Tell him that the Ramblin' Raiders sent you. This is pretty big news right here as far as this advertisement goes. And receive a 1% discount when buying or selling your next home, guys. 1%. That's big in the housing market. Don't miss out on this opportunity to work with an amazing realtor and get the home of your dreams. My compadres, let's get on with the show. Nice yellow beer crack over there from our boy Nick. Nothing like sleeping on some hard rock in 30 degree weather, Thompson. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast, episode 73, Ramblin' Raiders. You're listening to the Ramblin' Raiders premium Texas Tech content with a laugh. Thank you for joining us. We're always happy to bring you the heat in all Texas Tech related content and any and everything else. We have a full slate and a fun episode in store for y'all tonight. Nick, dude, there's nothing like sleeping on some hard rock in 30 degree weather.
Yeah. Thanks for introducing me, Jackson. Good to be back on the pod.
Of course, man.
Was in Big Bend at my brother's bachelor party this past 3 nights, 4 days.
Cheers to that.
It was a cold one, man. We were sleeping out in tents and it was rocky and, you know, just cold as hell. So I'm glad to be back in a warm environment.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm glad to be back in a warm environment where the mics are hot. I can warm my hands on the mics.
Hey, buddy, we've got you taken care of. Lane, don't be afraid to ask Lane to go throw a nice log on the fire, the hypothetical fire, and get this thing going as he is our hot take specialist. I've already mentioned him by name, but here he is in the flesh and coming through the sound waves. Lane, did you guys get elevated, Griffon?
What is up, Ramblin' Raiders? Glad to be back on the pod. Glad to have Nick back from his elevation.
I got elevated, let me tell you.
He got elevated, 8,000 square feet or something? I mean, 8,000 feet up?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm thinking real estate terms.
Wait. How, in comparison to the Eiffel Tower, or like how many hot dogs, 1 foot hot dogs, would it have taken to get to where you were?
I don't know. Probably like...
He ate one every step, so he should know.
Yeah, it sounds like y'all were really partying on that trail.
Yeah, we got guys smoking jewels, and we had some Eddies getting passed around.
You're telling me that your boy Eddie showed up.
My friend Eddie showed up. Damn. He was there on the trip with us.
He's a good guy.
And, beer at the top of the peak, highest peak in Big Bend. It's great.
Hey, it's a party, man. Anytime you're willing to put your life on the line, as the videos Nick showed us, they clearly did.
Yeah.
You might as well do it under the influence.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the best part of it was because I was doing that hike, I didn't have to watch Kansas versus Tech football.
Almost want to play a clip from the opening of Harry Potter 7, but we might save it for a video where he drops a "These are dark times."
They are indeed,
because it's something. All right, but as we get going, guys, social media highlight. Remember to rate, review, subscribe. It goes a long way with the Ramblin' Raiders men. when you subscribe. And then also let us know how we're doing, what you like, what you don't like. Helps us gauge where we're at and growing our podcast. Also, follow us on Twitter at Ramblin' Raiders. We are on Facebook. The page is called Ramblin' Raiders Podcast. And we are also on Instagram at Ramblin' Raiders. We try to engage with our our audience and our listeners as much as possible. We like to keep y'all updated on everything that's going on with the podcast. And so, don't forget to follow us on social media. Also, we have a website, and it is a great website. Nick, what's the name of said website?
RamblinRaiders.com. Who would have thought?
Plain and simple, baby. 10% of all the sales on our merch line that we have goes to charity. Lane and I were trying to figure out, what would be a good group to give to. And I was almost thinking about doing a fundraiser or some kind of promotion with, I know there's a lot of organizations that are, about collecting and giving gifts to children that are in, poorly socioeconomic developed areas.
Or kids in need, yeah.
Yeah, kids in need, basically. I like to get technical with my terminology, but I don't know, man. I think we should decide right here. Is there anyone off the top of y'all's head?
Have we already done St. Jude?
Yes, we did. Yeah, done St. Jude.
I get a lot of mail from them.
Did you hear that from Delilah on Sunny 99.1?
No, I just know they were doing a call-a-thon.
AKA the Creeper? Okay, well, we'll think about it, right?
Well, I know a good place.
Toys for Tots.
It's called. Well, that's a good one for sure. It's pretty national, right?
Yeah, it's big.
There's like a local one in Houston, which when we do give back for our website, merchandise sales, 10%. Mm-hmm. We like to try to go local, and there's a local place in Houston called Be a Resource Bear.
Okay.
And they do for kids in CPS, Child Protective Services,
very nice.
Orphans, that kind of thing, and they provide gifts for them. So awesome. Maybe we can do a gift, a physical gift, or we can just do cash, like a normal donation.
What we could do is give them a Ramblin' Raiders hoodie.
Yeah.
those things are comfy and will go a long way. I mean, you can put a lot of mileage. Towards the Ramblin' Raiders merch. But I like that idea from Nickamundo. Good to have him back on the podcast. We will, look into it and then let y'all know where 10% of all of the sales we make on all the merch you buy goes to. But it's going to go to some, a great cause with children that are in need.
We can't donate 10% unless you guys buy merch. So you guys got to get out there and buy some merch for the Christmas spirit, right?
That's right, dude. That is right. Good call, Lane. Next, I was going to let y'all know as well, we have write-ups and our episodes are downloadable straight from the website, so you can listen to them there, and also we're going to have some write-ups coming up for you. Laney's Locks plug, presented by Ramblin' Raiders Media. Take it away, Laney.
Yeah, Laney's Locks.
Dude, you left me high and dry last week, man.
I know. I had to. I was working, but it's a good pod.
Hey, F your job. The locks are more important.
It's a good pod. Quick hitter with me and the chef. Maybe a special guest this week if he doesn't bail.
Yeah, we're calling you out, Joe.
It's a big quick hitter. It takes about 15-20 minutes, and we just talk about the locks of the weekend, what's going on. Give it a listen. Follow us on at Laney's Locks on Twitter and at Laney's underscore locks 15 on Instagram.
I actually hit a dirty teaser on NFL bets yesterday.
Well done. Yeah, give it a follow. Good times.
That is all we have, except for, I will say this, I'm not going to divulge too much, but the Ramblin' Raiders family, like the Grinch's heart grew 3 times that day, is also expanding to 3 podcasts. We're going to have a new podcast coming out under the Ramblin' Raiders Media umbrella. We're really excited for. I think our lady listeners are going to be very excited for. It's with a familiar host. And we're really looking forward to it. I don't want to give it away, but be on the lookout for the soon-to-be announcements with another pod. Dude, it's the season of giving. We're giving out more content. Some call us Santa, and it's not because, it's not from like last year when I had gained a lot of weight. It's because we are in the giving spirit. So be on the lookout for that. Let's get right into the look around campus, man. My first one I'll say is Matt Wells. Unfortunately, we found out last Thursday, contracted COVID-19. That is, never a good thing. And we were praying and hoping for the best for Matt Wells. We wish him a speedy recovery and that, he gets back in action and back with his players and, can be with his family and everything soon. We saw some fans kind of interacting on different social, forums and social media. And guys, I think this goes without saying, it doesn't matter how you feel about a player, how you feel about a coach, how you feel about somebody. It's just, you got to have more.
He's a human being.
I mean, come on, man. You got to have, more respect and common sense and just more decency, more morality than to ever wish that upon somebody. So, Matt, you know, despite what we're going to say probably about Kansas and about the ending of the football season and where we're at with that, we obviously, you know, can't state enough, you know, how much we're wishing for Matt, you know, praying for Matt Wells and hoping him to pull through, and I'm sure he'll be fine, but
yeah, hopefully his family's doing all right.
Yeah. What else do we have, man? I know Jack Anderson. Bye-bye.
Oh, he's gone.
Yep.
Bye.
He's not transferring, though. He's declaring for the draft.
He's making the right decision.
100%. Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. I tried to find a funny Twitter.
I mean, not the right decision for our football team, but
I tried to find
the right decision for him personally.
I was trying to find a funny Twitter gif of, like, the Titanic with Jack, and there was just nothing suitable. You wouldn't believe how much time I wasted looking for a good gif for that. And basically all it boiled down to was Jack, like, sinking in the water. And I was like, yeah, that's not. Nowadays, that'll get you canceled real quick and just not, you know, not good content. So Anderson's leaving. What else do we have?
Yeah. On the same day that Texas Tech beat Kansas on Saturday, the Lady Raiders basketball team suffered their first loss of the season at home against Rice, the Rice Ooh. Owls. They beat them by 19 points.
That's a tough loss. Oh. Tough loss for the ladies. They're looking to bounce back in a big way coming up in their next game.
Yeah. We didn't look very good. We only had a couple players in double digits.
It's tough.
Miss Gordon, Miss Carr had 21 and 18 apiece.
Dang.
Other than that, you know, it was a pretty slow moving game for the girls. So
yeah. Hopefully they can kind of hit their stride.
Exactly.
And pick that up, because a 19-point loss to Rice is not looking good.
Anytime you lose to the nerds from Rice, you have to go back and, you know, back to the drawing board and reevaluate. So
cancel. Go home to mommy.
No, I'm sure they'll bounce back. You know, it's a tough first loss, but this is, I mean, you could argue, you know, it's Coach Gerlich's first year. She might be retooling and revamping and having to work through some early season, you know, kinks.
Setbacks
and kinks in the armor. So
yeah. Well, no. I mean, they're going to have to bounce back pretty quickly, because they got play coming up against number 7 Baylor, who's a pretty good program right now in the lady basketball ranks.
That's actually a really, like, low ranking for Baylor. They're usually 1 or 2.
Well,
so
they have a loss already too. They're 2-1. So
oh wow, man. Yeah. Well, that's we hope
the Lady Raiders are looking to get a huge upset.
Yeah. We hope
on the road.
Recover and figure it out quickly, and then can beat the Lady Bears and, you know, get a big win starting off conference play.
Barretts,
is that how you say that?
No, I'm kidding. I'm just saying.
Lady Bass.
The Barretts. Barretts.
The Barretts. All right. Well, what else? Any news? Oh, NFL, man. We had some Texas Tech alumni go off yesterday, mainly at the receiver position. Batson and Kiki QT. Huge game.
Kiki QT is starting to come on, guys. He's a big target for the Texans nowadays.
Yeah.
He's one of Deshaun's favorites.
Yeah.
And Deshaun's, if he can stay healthy. Kiki. You know, he was on the verge of, people were thinking he might get cut, and he's really turned it around and starting to make some big moves this season.
That just shows, like, how bad Bill O'Brien was, in my opinion.
Definitely.
Kiki is going off, dude.
Definitely. Just for reference, 8 receptions, 141 yards is the career high, hit a 64-yard reception. Targeted 9 times, so 8 out of 9 in receptions. That's pretty good for Kiki. Looking forward to seeing him play the rest of the season with our hometown Texans. Hopefully they can get another dub.
Suck on that, Bill.
And maybe a coach.
Suck on that.
And a win.
Very good, guys. Well, other than that, nothing else comes to mind as far as look around campus. Anything else?
Meat
Judging got a shout out from Barstool
Sports.
Take, right?
Yeah, they did. I think they might need either someone from the Meat Judging team on, or us as a representative, an olive branch.
Should we reach out
on PMT?
Did they talk specifically about Tech Meat Judging?
Literally, Tech. Yes. They called us the Harvard and, I believe, the Alabama.
Bama of Meat Judging.
Well,
we already said that.
They definitely stole that from us, but. If I may ask, I thought El Presidente said he was done with all things
no,
Tech.
No, El Presidente wasn't on.
He's
there.
Not on PMT.
Yeah, but this is his company.
This was just Big Cat.
No,
so
he sold
suck
pretty
it,
much
Presidente.
Right. He's not the majority stakeholder.
Suck it, Dave Portnoy.
Apparently, there's a legal dispute going on right now between Dave and, like, the what he claims the insubordinates from Pardon My Take, because he said they went back on his word and never talked about Texas Tech.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. We need to be talked about.
I mean, they're reaching out to Ramblin' Raiders.
Oh, good.
To say,
more,
like,
for us.
Do you guys want to get involved, you know?
I wish.
And we said we know a lawyer, so why not?
Big Cat said, like, do you want to come on the pod and talk about the Meat Judging team? I said, hell no, I have my own pod.
Oh. Okay, there we go, dude. Climbing in the rankings. Shots fired. You know, 150 ratings and reviews just automatically qualifies you as being elite.
So. Just kidding. If Big Cat wants me on his pod, I'll definitely go on there.
So remember, guys, to go rate, review, subscribe so we can get Lane and Big Cat to have a conversation on the Texas Tech meat judging team. I loved how he called them the meat peepers.
Meat peepers.
He goes, Texas Tech has the best meat peepers.
And they're also questioning who judges the meat judging team.
Yeah, which I was kind of laughing because I was like, clearly.
That's a good point.
I mean, I don't know who does
sure there's
judge
like
them.
Expert meat it's probably analysis
like a,
people.
It's like a referee.
What do you call them? Like meat connoisseurs?
Taxidermists?
Meat judgers.
Meat judgers. You know, no, but like
professional
the
meat judgers.
Professional?
That like, professional? That pick the meat for like HEBs and Market Street. United.
So there's
what's
an elite
that guy's name? Herbert Butt?
Herbert E. Butts, yes, HEB.
There's an elite level of people who are able to analyze and judge quality meats, and they're the ones judging Texas Tech.
Yeah, and those quality people all come out of Texas
but
Tech.
But Texas Tech
program.
Then becomes, so it's a big circle, and I think that's why we win every
and
year.
We, but yeah, look, yeah. We dominate the industry.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
But plain and simple, I majored in the wrong thing at Texas Tech. I should have gotten into meat judging.
Yeah, Lane's been called quite the meat peeper.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, dude.
You're done.
I had to do it to him.
Canceled off the pod.
No, you're canceled for like.
Wait, why? I was just saying you like.
Very questionable content.
You can. No, like you're very good at going to the supermarket and picking high quality meat. What are you talking about?
You're burned, Lane. Get off the
pod,
dude.
That was weird, man. I'm just saying like you're very good at like picking out good quality meat.
Hot takes with Nikas Cakes now, baby.
Nikas is here. All right, guys. Main body content, dude. Life after Kansas.
Round two,
and it might have gotten worse even though we won.
Oh, dude. No, y'all are absolutely right. Let's just get right into it, man. I mean,
this Kansas team was, I want to say, almost say 10 times worse than the team that beat us last year.
They were bad. Like,
and we're just as bad.
Yes. Okay, so let me do an instant reaction to this, guys. Life after Kansas. Last year, we were sitting there after the Kansas loss saying, I don't know how much worse it can get. This is rock bottom. And to Lane's point, I don't know if that win, I mean, I get it, a win versus a loss, but when you look at the quality of Kansas last year to this year, I just don't know if this win is actually, I mean, here's what I'll say for it. It's about the worst way you could end a season without losing. I mean, I'm with you. I don't know if we're in a better place. And, dude, this team came out, they were unbelievably flat and unfocused. And even on even playing a terrible game like that and just coming out, you know, lethargic and complacent, you still should beat this team by two touchdowns at least. There's no reason we should have been in this game at all. There's no excuse, rhyme, or reason for it. And the fact that Tech was is telling of the state of this program. And really, I mean, I think it shows a serious lack of leadership. What's y'all's just off the cuff
It shows
thought?
A serious – we have regressed – from last year to this year. I mean, we looked better in that Kansas loss last year than we did in a Kansas win this year.
Yeah.
That's tough to say, and it's tough to watch as a Texas Tech fan.
Yeah. Tough to admit, too.
It's tough to admit. It's really hard.
I mean, I think we played worse this year than we did in the loss to Kansas last year.
It's just so clear how this team is not moving in the right direction.
No, you're right.
At all.
Nick, what do you got?
Yeah, I didn't get to watch the game, nor the two basketball games this past week. But you know, this is just another example. Looking back at you know the highlights and reading some things is, I mean, this is us again playing at the level of our competition.
Yeah,
we had a relatively decent game against Oklahoma State. I played them close the whole game, almost beat UT back in the beginning of the season, but we play down to the levels of Baylor, Kansas. And TCU was a very sloppy game. And, you know, it's just, I feel like every time we go out on the field, the guys are just trying to be good enough to win the game. And again, I think it starts with coaching. Although this game did have a lot of turnovers, and you can blame some of the players for missed opportunities and sloppy play. But as a team, as a program, we're just playing down to the level of teams that we shouldn't be playing down to.
When you play down to your competition, it's
HBU is another example.
It's a clear, you know,
indicator.
It's a clear indicator that there's a
lack of
leadership.
I agree. And
on the field,
it's more deep rooted, I would say, though, than even look. We get like Matt Wells wasn't there. You know, so he's recovering from COVID. He's getting through COVID. He's not on the field. But to me, this goes. It's not something that happens in 2 days. This
it's also been all season.
Exactly. This is something that, you know, even though these players are playing hard in this game, you could tell they were just kind of over it. You know, and that I feel like there's a lot to be said. I mean, Eric Ezukama's post-game press conference, there's a lot to be said that.
Players are calling for a change.
He said it about as, you know, as nicely as you can possibly put it, and that is that, you know, basically what he said was, I feel like our offense is more productive whenever I get to get involved and they're targeting me, which he's he's our best player on offense. So
yeah.
I would say yes to that, and it's pretty bad, guys. Let's get right into the negatives. First off, running backs, dude, who have been our strength all year. They put it on the deck three times, dude. Two from Xavier White, one from Sir Roderick Thompson. We also threw a pick that was, you know, got tipped, unfortunately, for Alan Bowman. And that wasn't good, dude. Turnovers were bad. Offensive play calling and execution. I mean, we scored a touchdown on one trick play, one reverse that worked. Other than that, we were terrible. I mean, just abysmal offensively.
That was the first reverse touchdown that I've seen since I scored a touchdown in ninth grade football reversed. 69-yard touchdown.
It was bad. I mean,
I've never seen it work since me.
Nice, Nick.
We had seven penalties, and special teams, dude, Garibay went 3 for 6 on field goals. And one of them that he made
was Garibay may not be the answer that we thought he was.
G-Bay might not be the
G-Bay.
Answer. Yeah.
You go off the pod one episode, you got G-Bay.
That's my nickname for him. If you would have been paying attention back when he went off against Baylor, that's the nickname I dubbed for him.
I got no way Garibay.
Was G-Bay. Now, yeah, I'm starting to have second thoughts. But, yeah, G-Bay.
I like you.
3 for 6.
Plain and simple, the offense is just atrocious with David Yost at the helm.
I mean, dude, you go back and look at some individual stats. Third down efficiency, 3 of 15. Is terrible.
And that's been a problem all year. We have not been able to convert.
We had a 3-and-out, and he ran the ball in 3 plays in a row. I mean, didn't gain one damn yard.
How about that reverse on the goal line? It's just, dude, it's gotten to the point where I want to try to joke around and be funny, but I can't. It's pathetic, dude. It really is sad. It's disheartening. We joked around about Matt Wells being a masochist on the last pod, not in the sexual sense, in the general sense. I think us three are masochists,
in the biblical sense?
And not in the biblical sense. I think us three are masochists in the fact that we like to get on here and torture ourselves by reliving this
atrocious play calling.
Upsetting outings from Texas Tech football. I'm tired of it, Grandpa. I can't do it anymore, dude. I mean, it's tough. What other negatives do you guys have? I mean, anything else? Garibay, like I said, 3 for 6.
The entire game is really just a negative overall.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that we won.
Well, no, okay. I have one positive I'll get into. This was actually a point of debate.
The defense didn't play that bad.
You guys have any other negatives, man? I feel like there's still a lot more we could get at.
There's what else you want to say? I mean, David Yost is there. A change has to be made at offensive coordinator.
You have to fire David Yost and hire Kitley from
HBU. You're gonna either
or somebody
keep
else.
Him and absolutely lose the fan base.
Yeah.
And you're going to continue to watch horrible offensive production, or you're going to have to make a change.
So here's my one positive. Lane touched or, you know, hinted at it, and that is that our defense stepped up when we needed it the most. People, look, on Twitter and stuff are saying, you know, it's against Kansas. Guys, I get that, but you have to remember, we turned the ball over on plus side of the field and put our defense in a tight situation on more than one occasion in this game. They held at the end. I mean, if our defense has even a close to more subpar game than they did, we actually lose. People forget, like, I thought we were going to lose at one point. We could have lost to this team. Like, our D stepped up. I get it. It's against an inferior opponent. But, I mean, what you got to give credit where it's due. They stepped up. They got stops when necessary.
We get beat if it's not for them.
Yeah, the only time Kansas scores is off of offensive blunders, as we expressed on social media. And so you got to – I mean, all year, we've said it all year, it's beating a dead horse. Our defense has either allowed us to win games, you know, West Virginia, Kansas, or they've had us in a position to win games. I don't think our defense has seems improved to me. That's a positive. And then my other positive that Lane touched on is the fact that the only other positive, we won the game.
We won.
I mean, that's a positive, but – Dude, my overall, I don't want to dwell on this and spend a lot of time on it because I know fans that, you know, listen to this podcast, our listenership, I don't think they, you know, want to hear us go into a deep dive analysis of why are we running a, you know, trick play on third down on the goal line. You know, why are we throwing screens in tight situations that aren't working? I get that the players messed up in this game, and they did. Our O-line struggled again at times. Alan Bowman, which, again, we also have a lot of fans after Alan Bowman, guys. And let me just tell you, we have a lot more issues than Alan Bowman. We'll just say that. But, you know, Bowman, whatever in this game, our running backs are coughing it up. And the play calling is just abysmal. It's not fun. It's not, you know, it's not really anything.
This could be the worst offense we've seen in Lubbock since Mike Leach. I mean, Mike Leach had great offense, but I mean, since we've gotten rid of Mike Leach, this might actually now be the worst offense we're seeing.
Which is sad because we have the players to compete at a higher level, and it's just not getting done. I'll end it with this, man. I'm with y'all. Changes have to be made. It's not a question of, well, you know, if he gets these players. No. Like, if he gets these players,
we're not saying that Matt Wells should be fired. We're thinking the changes have to be made in the coordinator position.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at here, is that you have to have changes of some kind. I mean, I'll be honest with you, dude. I don't think Matt Wells will be fired.
I wouldn't hate it.
If it happens, you're not going to hear me complaining. I'll just say that. But I do believe at some level, 2 years is – you know, as far as the sample size goes, you know, and financially, maybe give him a third. I'm okay with that. I'll put it this way. I'll be okay with Matt Wells as our head coach as long as David Yost and Tom Herdahl are no longer on the staff. And that's, Lane's right, that's the change we're getting at, is that needs to be made undeniably, is that you have to have we cannot go into another season with David Yost on this staff. It will literally be detrimental to our fan base, to the enthusiasm. You'll lose donors. You'll lose your backing. I mean, you're going to Bill O'Brien this thing if you keep David Yost on staff. It can't happen.
Here's something else. I think that point is something that all the Red Raider fans can get behind, because we have a lot of split fans right now.
If anything,
they're just dividing off into factions.
Yeah.
I think
everyone agrees on that one point,
so we need to rally around that.
No, I agree.
Come together as Tech fans.
My only hope can be that with Matt Wells watching this last week from home, he can actually see for the first time from like our perspective of watching the game on TV that, whoa, this guy really does suck at calling play calls. Have I been doing this all season?
Oh my God, this dude is ass.
So hopefully he can like actually see him do that live on TV and be like, whoa, like this guy sucks. Like, he's my friend, but he needs to get fired.
But this is business, man.
It's business, and
it's cutthroat world out there.
Again, it cannot go without saying that this program could reach new lows from an enthusiasm and engagement standpoint. And I mean, Tom Herdahl, I think they get rid of everybody besides Joe Filani, maybe the running backs coach.
Wow. Even Patterson?
I think you keep Patterson.
No, sorry, on the offensive side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, you get rid of everyone besides receivers coach Joe Filani.
You fire Yost, you fire Tom Herdahl, or I fire all three of you.
yeah, there you go.
Anybody who likes horrible bosses will get that one. But, yeah, I mean, again, it just – you know, keep Patterson. We've seen improvement on defense. Hell, Matt Wells, if he stays and we have a new offensive coordinator, there'll still be life. I'm not on board yet with Matt Wells. I'm not 100% confident in him, but I do believe if he gets a third year, that's an okay, you know, thing for our program, as long as David Yost is not on staff.
Agreed.
And Tom Herdahl cannot be on staff either.
Agreed.
Get him out, and get him out in a hurry. Like Lane said, our fans do not want to see, you know, either Yost on there specifically. So if you do it, if anything, do it to unite the fan base.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised to hear a firing by the end of this week.
Mm-hmm. And I think it should happen by the end of this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up. I'm sorry if this is bland and just, like, not that enthusiastic. It's just, sorry. I mean,
we're fatigued for the end of the season.
we're just as tired as these players are, because – it's been another, and we'll do a full football recap. We kind of touched on some things I know we were going to get into, but we'll probably wait a week or two before we kind of see if bowl games are a possibility.
Guys, we're going bowling.
If there are, you know, if there is a shakeup amongst the staff, we want to make sure we get all the information before we do our football season recap. But all I can say is we started this pod at a bad time as far as football goes, because that's been two tough years of watching Texas Tech football. However, basketball is still competing at a high level, and that's what we want to talk about next.
Yee yee.
Two wins following the loss in Houston that we were in attendance at, and that Nick so valiantly and bravely gave his Ramblin' Raiders shirt to some unsuspecting Texas Tech fan.
Oh, yeah. Did y'all talk about that last episode?
We did.
Yeah,
we did.
She's a real lucky fan.
What did you say about that? Because that really pissed me off.
We said that, like, you honestly, like, had to give her your shirt, man. You had to take one for the team. She got out of her car. I mean, it would have been awkward.
Did y'all say that Lane was the one that, like, took it from me and, like, gave it to her?
No, I didn't do that. I was sitting on the other side
of the
car.
All I know is, like, my secondhand embarrassment was growing exponentially, because I was like, Nick, dude, she's over here. You got to give it to her. And she's wearing it now, and, you know, it all worked out for the best.
Speaking of that, Kerry Hyder just got a big stop Monday Night Football. Good for him.
Back to the look around campus we go.
It wouldn't be the first time a girl had one of my t-shirts that I did not want to have one of my t-shirts. That's all I got to say.
Please do go further. And or what?
Ashton took a hoodie.
Danielle took a hoodie.
Damn Teslas.
And I wasn't even referring to that, but yeah.
Basically, what Nick's saying is he's a stud. And for all those girls that, you know, have enjoyed the company of Nick Thompson, please give him back his t-shirts. But
this lucky fan can keep this one, though.
This lucky fan can keep it.
And Lane's going to buy me a new one.
And Lane,
as soon as I have money.
Lane's going to ask Santa. Lane's going to ask Santa to give Nick a new shirt. But I'm sure, you know, everyone's sitting there going in their car saying, Nick, please go on. Tell us more.
Another time, boys.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
That's for a later podcast. So Texas Tech beats Troy 80-46. Good win, good rebound, even though Troy's not, you know, as quality of a team.
And good pun.
Great pun on my part. Yeah, I do what I can. McClung had a great game, leading all scorers with 20 points. Silva led on with 7 rebounds. And then McClung also tied Micah Peavy with 5 assists. You know, offense got kicking in the second half, really. They had a good ending to the first half.
Yeah, I would say we were up about 46. I stopped watching at halftime because we were up by at least 20 by halftime.
I was at happy hour at this place called Frank's with our cousin Josh, just ripping extra dirty. As I like to call them, Harvey Water Martinis. And I kind of, you know, got a little fuzzy there in the second half, but all I know is we kicked their ass. Great game. We also beat Grambling State 81-40. Another big win. Kyler Edwards had one of the most complete games in recent memory for Texas Tech.
Hopefully a big breakout game for him that he can kind of ride that momentum into conference play.
I would like to see that as well. He had 11 rebounds, 5 assists, and he led all scorers, even though three other guys had 12 points. He led with 13 points. Again, really complete game. Namari Burnett had a nice little breakout game. He got 12 points, breakaway dunk, some steals, you know, got his hands on the ball, and is coming into his own. One thing I'll say right now, guys, and we talked about it at the beginning of the year. I think we talked about it a little bit with Ronald Ross, friend of the Ramblin' Raiders podcast. Ken Palm, dude, number one adjusted defense. You know, defensive efficiency rating in all of college basketball right now. Texas Tech is playing defense at a high level. That's something that you know you're going to get with Chris Beard, a Chris Beard coach team. Dude, I mean,
can we get it on the offensive end?
Offensively, you know, we really need to shout out though as well as Mark Adams, dude, because he is I think, defensive mastermind and guru, kind of behind the scenes, who's helped us really tweak and perfect the no middle defense. So shout out to, you know, assistant coach Mark Adams for getting us there.
Gave up a couple big time job offers to stay
at Texas
Tech.
And we're playing defense at a high level. Some players who are stepping up right now, dude. Jamarius Burton. No relation to
Burnett.
Tim Burton.
Oh.
No relation to Tim Burton, one of Nick's favorite movie producers.
Yeah, yeah. Nightmare Before Christmas. Best Christmas movie I've
ever
seen.
Best Halloween movie out there.
No relation there. But, no, dude, he's been, as far as our transfers go, I mean, I know Silva's getting boards and kind of doing what we expected, but he's been a nice little fresher out there, and you know, kind of getting things out of the offense, being a floor general, a leader, playing quality D. I forgot I had it pulled up earlier, his stats against Grambling State. I'll pull those up while y'all speculate a little bit.
Well, I just hope he can bang. I hope he can bang in the conference play because we're going to be outsized in quite a bit of these conference games, and rebounding was a clear issue.
Three assists, two rebounds.
It was a clear issue, so hopefully he can start banging and be able to bang with the bigs. And
he's also
in conference play.
Bang, bang, Roldy.
Dude, no, but I mean, he's playing. He's getting significant playing time. Him and Terrence Shannon Jr. had, you know, both 21 minutes.
Old Terrence Shannon Jr., huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that is his name. So, yeah. TJ Shannon, I forgot. We're on, like, first name basis with all these players because we know him, like, so well. But, you know, he's getting to play a lot more, and that's exciting, man, to have a guy, a transfer step up. We've already talked about Micah Peavy being a really, you know, big bright spot. How about Vlad? Old Vlad getting in there, getting a dunk, the footer, the big boy himself running the court.
Hitting two free throws,
Lane's
too.
Lane's favorite player, Avery Benson.
Avery Benson got a block, guys.
He got a rundown block and I think it was an and-one three in the corner, or they didn't call it, but he got fouled and stroked the three in the corner.
He probably got fouled because it took him about 30 minutes to get it off.
Good things happening. Hey, come on, dude. Easy. He's got a great –
I'm just kidding. He had a great block.
No. I was going to say he has a great mustache.
Oh, that too.
Well, you think you're better than him?
What, you think you're better than me?
Come on. He had a great mustache. And, he had a great mustache, okay?
Also, great flow, too.
Also amazing flow. Concerns, really quick. Lane talked on some of them. Rebounding, dude. We are going to have to rebound at a higher level. And – that, yeah, we're going to have to rebound. Nick has something else.
Nick has something he really wants to say.
Nick, what do you have,
dude? Saying I have one as well. But, rebounding for sure. We're undersized going into Big 12. Hopefully we can, like Lane said, bang with them. I'm worried about our play away from the USA.
Ooh, yeah, road play.
Yeah.
Because over the last year, we didn't do very well. We're 3-7 on the year in opponents' courts, and we're 2-2 on neutral sides. I mean, we got pretty spanked by U of H a couple weeks ago.
And you could argue that was almost a home game.
Basically, crowd-wise. Chris Beard said it felt like a home game. So, you know,
said the Ramblin' Raiders like showed out and did a great job supporting.
Yeah, hell yeah, you did.
If y'all missed that, you're not paying attention.
Oh, you say the Red Raiders, like the fans?
No, the Ramblin' Raiders.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah, we did.
He goes, shout out to the Ramblin' Raiders. Their podcast is excellent. They're elite. Whoa, they're elite, and they, like he says, they compete at a high level amongst other, like, you know, podcasts. So good for us.
Yeah,
but dude, Nick, yeah, good for us. Nick's right, man. I mean, we got to show up better on the road. And then my last two is we're still bad with free throws and turnovers, man.
And we are sloppy with the ball.
Yeah,
everybody seems to be.
Those turnovers will get you. Let's go.
Got
to
tighten
them
up
off
before conference play.
38. Oh, sorry, no, that's way too much. 13 turnovers against Grambling State, which was a little bit better than Troy, which I'm about to get to. And then also the free throws, 21 to 27. So they got better in Grambling State. I want to go to the Troy game because that was where it was still kind of an issue to from what I saw. 13 of 22 from the free throw line. That's 59%. Not going to cut it. Also, another 13 turnovers. So 13 turnovers in two games against inferior opponents.
That's not good.
Really need to, you know, lock that up. Because in conclusion, I'll say, guys, the Big 12 is good this year, dude.
Kansas is good,
despite what people thought early on. Baylor is, you know, going to be elite. The easy favorite to win the conference this year. And then West Virginia and Texas looks really good this year as well. Lane, what'd they pick us at? We were talking about a pre-pod, and everyone was like all on a tiff about.
I think they put us either fourth or fifth.
Which right now it's looking like that's pretty fair assessment.
I think so too, with how Texas looked against Villanova. Yeah.
But hey, I believe in this team. I believe in Coach Beard. I think we can improve and get better and compete at a high level.
I think they will get better and improve. The only thing I'm a little worried about with the turnovers and, you know, the rebounding is we got to find a way to be more productive and get good shots out of our offense.
Rebounding is one of those stats that
is scary.
You talked about it. It's hard to correct that.
It's hard to coach that into existence.
Exactly. Coach that into existence. Free throws, you can improve. Turnovers, you can improve.
Getting shots out of the offense, you can improve. Yeah. I mean, you got to work on your motion offense.
Which, and we talked about this earlier, the national championship team, they also struggled offensively early in the season. So, guys, we're not trying to be Debbie Downers. We're just saying have some realistic expectations. It's going to be a dogfight, and Coach Beard has that street dog mentality. So, we're going to be all right.
He wins the day. You're all right.
Yeah, I think once we get McCuller back and get the chemistry going.
We're missing
Cole. Oh, my gosh.
I'm excited
for
this
team. That guy? Have you guys talked to him recently?
He got really into the 60s, and no one ever saw him again.
I hope
it should be a shorter injury.
Is it an ankle? What was it again? I forgot. Ankle.
It was an ankle. Yeah.
More emotional, more mental than physical, or.
Well, the physical is 4-1 of the mental. So.
That's right. Physical is 4-1. No, actually.
Mental is 4-1.
I'm sorry. Mental is 4-1. So we know McCullough has great mental strength because he plays for Coach Beard. In all seriousness, dude, we do need him back. His defense is a beast. He's also, he can get boards. He's tall. Yeah. He's lanky. He's a great defensive presence. And he also kind of came on. As Lane likes to say, he can bang. And he came on last year offensively, you know, cleaning up the glass, banging down low. Clean up the glass and putting them back. So, and all, you know, jokes aside, we do need Kevin McCullough back. We're looking forward to that. Are y'all ready for this amazing hot take we're about to take a journey on?
Let's get it. I'm excited.
Let's do it. And all I can say is, ba, 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 black sheep.
Have you any wool?
I want to hold your hand.
Keep going.
Darlene. Darlene. Okay, I forgot how that one goes. Let's do it.
Let's.
In ways that make us feel good. Nobody else, man? Lane, weren't you in the musical too in high school? Come on.
Maybe you'll be lucky enough to.
I'm drawing a blank on the words.
He got the yibs, man. He's got a beautiful alto voice for a eunuch, all right? For a eunuch, he has a beautiful alto voice.
Oh, no.
No, what's my favorite one is. A Life Without You. I think we should lead him in with A Life Without You.
Walk hard.
We'll see.
Hard.
Y'all ready for this hot take? Let's get into it.
Here it is.
I make mistakes, and that is true. At least I learn each time I do. Darling, you must believe I could never leave you if I tried.
Charged. So hopefully, charged. Hopefully y'all just got done hearing A Life Without You is No Life at All. That's how I feel about you two whenever it comes to this podcast, man. Like, a podcast without y'all is just no podcast.
What a beautiful, what do they call you, a baritone?
No, I'm a bass too. Like, guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged.
If you haven't seen the movie Dewey Cox, The Legend of Dewey Cox, Walk Hard. Then you are going to understand absolutely nothing about this hot take, which might be a good thing.
It might inspire you to go give this movie a watch, which surprisingly has an incredible soundtrack.
An incredible soundtrack, man. And dude,
one of the best.
It's amazing. And I'm so glad we're talking about this now because I just, you know, off air real quickly while I was getting a refill. On my G&T over here, actually G and LaCroix, I stated that during that Kansas breakdown, like a little part of me was dying on the inside, dude. So Tech fans need something to rally behind.
Maybe this
they
song
need a light.
Will bring you joy.
And Dewey Cox is that light to get us through the dark times.
And he's just the artist to get us there.
As depressed and as like cynical and sad as I was going over that Kansas recap, we're about to double down on the Dewey Cox story. Guys, here's today's hot take. Dewey Cox is greater than most modern-day pop stars. His body of work is also superior to all modern artists' bodies of work in their entirety. And what I mean by that... Here's what I mean by that. In his lifetime, he put out one album. And almost every song on there...
Is a hitter.
...was a platinum... iTunes top 100 by every metric you can, you know, measure these songs was at the very top of that list.
Automatic.
His quality of work is better than anybody else.
Don't let it be understated as well that he hits several different genres, something that most artists are not capable of.
Yeah. And then, I mean, here's what we're going to
talk
about.
He starts in the 50s and goes all the way through, I think, the 90s.
I'm looking at these people who, look, in their own right, they have a huge followings, fan bases, and on their own respects, they're quality artists, but they're just not as good as Dewey Cox is what I'm trying to get at. I don't even know what BTS is. Megan.
BTS is that Korean boy band, I believe.
I thought they were EDM.
Well, I'm looking. Okay.
Shows you how much we know.
Wait, they're a Korean boy band?
I think so.
I'll have to check them out. But I doubt they're as good as Dewey Cox, all right? Megan Thee Stallion. Ariana Grande, Luke Combs, Justin Bieber, Harry Styles, the Taylor Swift, the likes of all these
they don't legends hold a torch
stars,
to Dewey.
They cannot compete with the likes of Dewey Cox. Let's just talk about our favorite songs first.
They don't
man.
Want no part of this shit.
Okay, wait. Actually, before I get to the songs, it's also kind of mind-blowing to think that Dewey Cox's life is, I mean, he had a harder road than a majority of people do to get to where he got in his career.
He cut his brother in half.
I mean, he cut his brother in half. He murdered him.
And he went
He went smell blind
after that.
I almost, hold on, dude. I'm getting emotional. I might start crying. And he lost his sense of smell.
Never forget, every time
me
and Jackson, every time we either drove to or from Lubbock, I had to listen to A Beautiful Ride at least three times. One, while we were leaving to get ready for the ride. Jackson would play it. Once in the middle to boost morale while we're driving back to Houston.
Yeah.
And then once when we got there to finish the ride off.
There's an argument to be made that A Beautiful Ride is debatably the greatest song of all time.
And it's a accumulation of all of Dewey's life, which is perfect.
It's amazing.
Because as he's standing on the precipice of death,
His perspective
is enormous.
Can you believe he lost his sense of smell and he still wrote all these amazing songs?
I mean,
smell blind.
It's incredible. Nowadays, people are experiencing it and losing their minds with COVID.
It was very unfortunate that he passed away. But if he was nowadays, he lived through a COVID side effect for a majority of his lifetime.
Nick,
tell us a little bit about Dewey Cox and his amazing ride to
Nick, give us a song that you enjoy.
Don't be afraid to sing it either.
I'm the only one ripping, like Dewey Cox lyrics on this.
My favorite song by far is a duet with my girl.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Jenna Fisher.
Pam Beasley.
Duet. Is it Jenna Fisher?
It's Jenna Fisher.
Jenna?
Yes, I was right.
Again, someone we know personally very well and that we talk to regularly.
Let's duet in ways that make us feel good. So that's my favorite song.
Yeah.
But a couple.
I had to get some words. Hold on.
Okay, Lane's over there just enjoying it, but go on.
A couple fun facts about the soundtrack from the movie. It was actually nominated for both a Grammy and a Golden Globe. And it was nominated. that holds some weight to our hot take here.
I want y'all to realize this, that yes, dude. I mean, it was legitimately nominated, Nick.
Legitimately. And then it was legitimately nominated for a third award, the Sierra Award for Best Song in a Motion Picture from the Las Vegas Film Critics Society. And he won it. And he sang and he played guitar on all his tracks.
John C. Reilly.
Dewey Cox.
I think you mean Dewey Cox. But Dewey. Yes. Yeah, Dewey.
He goes by Dewey. But, so, I mean, the hot take is, guys, this guy's better than most modern artists, and it's a fact.
I mean, you list them off, all the big Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. Oh, he's way better than Ed Sheeran.
I mean, just go down the line.
There's a rumor that Dewey Cox is the father of John Mayer.
Well, I could believe it because Mayer's voice is not quite.
Doesn't quite have the range.
But you can tell he has a little essence of Dewey in him,
Yeah. Well, there's a commercial about it back in 07 when the movie came out that he was John Mayer's dad.
Yeah, there was rumors. Well, he did father, I believe, around 30 children.
He was his daddy.
Including Dewey Raheem.
Dewey Raheem was probably my favorite child of his, but he had damn near 30 of them. He also had like a giraffe and other zoo animals like pets running around his house when he first hit stardom. Don't forget, guys, he became a star when he was like 13 or 14 years old.
Yeah. Don't forget, the guy's taken every drug out there and tripped on everything you can imagine.
He went to rehab, three or four or five times?
With John Lennon.
But y'all are, okay, let me just list some of these off. This is what y'all are missing the point. Take my hand.
Us are the listeners.
The listeners.
Okay, yeah. Listen up, listeners. Come on.
Take my hand. Instant classic. That's Amore.
That's Amore. Now, that's a sleeper.
Well, I mean, Walk Hard.
And Walk Hard. Walk Hard is what made him famous.
A Life Without You, my personal, and I'll actually go as far to say, A Life Without You is one of the most underrated songs of all time. I don't think that's hyperbolic.
My favorite is That's Amore. Yeah. I mean, that song is a gold platinum.
I love A Life Without You. That's what y'all heard coming in. Walk Hard, Let's Duet. Nick's, one of Nick's favorites and just a great song. Darling, guilty as charged.
Dear
Mr. President, Hole in my pants. Hole in my pants is, despite what you might think of a somewhat comical, you know, and haphazardous like title name, is a really deep and, you know, how do I put this? Just intellectually stimulating song. Black Sheep, underrated.
It's basically like the Revolution 9 of its modern time. Yes.
Of the Beatles song?
The Beatles. Yes. Nice. Black Sheep is. And then, you know, Billy, Don't Be a Hero. You guys even remember that one? And then we have the best of them all in the end, A Beautiful Ride.
You can't forget Farmer Glickstein.
Classic. Can you tell me how that one goes? Because I forgot it.
No, I don't remember. I quite remember how that one goes, but I know it's a hitter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with all that being said, there's just really not much else to say. Dewey Cox is an underrated and just phenomenal, lyricist and innovator of you know, different genres and music of our time. I think we owe him our respects, and I'd like to, you know, just
give a cheers
lift
to
the glass to
and here's the thing with
Dewey Cox.
With Dewey Cox, like I said, the hot take is he's better than most modern artists, which is true. He's covered so many more genres that they're not even capable of. Most modern artists are not capable of covering the genres he's done.
Unequivocal range.
If you haven't heard A Beautiful Ride, hopefully we're about to give you a taste of it right now. It's an excellent song.
We will.
Dewey Cox is an excellent artist, more capable than most today. Here's to Dewey.
Cheers, Dewey.
Dewey.
You know what? I'll give a little. That's not Santa. That's a gin and tonic for Dewey Cox.
Whiskey, flesh, and fur. And then in the end, it's family and friends. Loving yourself, but not only yourself. It's about the good walk and the hard walk and the young girls you made cry. It's about making a little music every day till you die. It's a beautiful ride.
With that being said, I hope y'all enjoyed A Beautiful Ride. It's been a beautiful ride for this podcast, and it's been a beautiful ride on this episode. And now we are ready. Also, if you guys want to watch Dewey Cox Walk Hard, it's on Netflix. Go check it out. We are ready now, boys, for our
Matador Motivational.
Beautifully done. A beautiful ending to that hot take. Matador Motivational. And today we're going to let brother Nickamundo take it away, man. It's always better to be at the bottom of a ladder you want to climb than in the middle of one you don't. Nick, tell us a little bit about today's Matador.
Yep, so the Matador Motivational is going to be us riffing off of a simple quote that I think I heard it on another podcast. I believe it was The Office podcast, an oral history of The Office.
Michael Scott?
You're listening to other podcasts.
I am. No, it's the it's Kevin. Kevin has a podcast.
Kevin Malone?
Yeah, and he brings like on everybody, talks about the history of it. And there was a quote. The quote is, it's always better to be at the bottom of a ladder you want to climb than in the middle of one that you don't want to climb. And it's an anonymous quote, but it's by Dave Eggers also. It's in one of his books. And in the case of the quote, you know, someone at the bottom of the ladder is looking forward to taking each and every step to reach their desired summit because, you know, that they want to be there if they're at the bottom of the ladder. But for someone already in the middle or the top of the ladder that didn't want to climb that ladder, there's simply nothing to look forward to. They're at a dead end, no hope, no aspirations, you know, to drive them further. So my question for you guys, and this could be our conversation topic, is, you know, where are you currently? Are you currently in the middle or the top or the bottom of life's ladder?
I'd say right now I'm probably at the bottom. Well, I mean, I just started a new job. I'm having to pay my dues.
If that ladder was at the bottom of a well, I'd say that's where land's starting off. Below the ground.
That's not the point, though. That's where you want to be.
I'm right where I want to be.
Are you at the beginning of, are you at the bottom, like trying to climb the corporate ladder? Not like that vibe, but like the vibe of like choose what ladder you want to get on, and you would rather find yourself at the bottom of a ladder you want to be on than look down and be like halfway up a ladder that you were like, I don't even want
to
be here.
My ladder is making dough with commercial real estate, and I'm trying to climb it, and I'm at the bottom of it right now.
No, so you, I mean, there's, so I guess with what Nick's trying to say.
I get it. Like,
I guess with what Nick is, you know, saying right here, it's that being at the bottom of a ladder is actually a better place to be than in the middle of a ladder you don't want to be climbing. Exactly. So that's good for Lane. I would say that with this podcast, we're all on a ladder, clinging to a ladder that we're enjoying climbing because we love doing this stuff. And it's actually a really good, you know, inspirational metaphor to and analogy to use, because I think a lot of the times people, you know, think they have to do something or that it's, you know, if they're unhappy but they're making it, per se, you know, they're like, I got to continue on this path. And it's not always necessarily true. You know, if you're truly unhappy in the middle of the ladder you're on right now don't jump off the ladder, you know.
You jump off and go find a new ladder.
Don't jump off your ladder completely and you know, wreck yourself on the way down trying to get to your next goal. But if you want to continue to look at it from the analogy we're using, it's, you know, start looking for other ladders and working your way down, or not working your way down, but being ready to, you know, descend that ladder and go get on another one. You know, it's like, you don't want to be stuck in a dead end job or something that you're not wanting to do. And I think at a young age, when you're younger, you know, you're going to find yourself at the beginning of a lot of ladders. It's okay to learn, to adapt, to grow. We're not saying, you know, if you're making ends meet and you're doing a job that you don't like, but you know, you're younger or whatever, that's okay. I mean, we all go through a learning process. We all go through learning curves, and it's applicable to anybody, really.
Well, that could be a step on the ladder, you know, is getting over that hump of that dead-end job, but you had to suffer there to get to what you're going
to
next.
You had to learn a lesson along the way and then get off and go get on the ladder that you ultimately want to be on. Or, well, you know what? We'll say this. The ladder comes up next to you, and you just slide over to the other ladder you want to be on.
Or you just take up another step up, and it was part of the ladder. That's what I was getting at.
But I think if you don't want to be on that ladder, you might want to get on a different ladder.
And at the same time, like, you don't want to find yourself on Jacob's ladder.
No.
Where it just keeps, you're just spinning your wheels.
Yeah, my new gym has one of those. Never tried it.
Don't go on that ladder, Lane. Do not, let me warn you with our quote today. Don't go on that ladder.
It goes in tandem, I think, with getting off of a ladder that isn't for you, I guess is the point I'll bring up, is that if you are unhappy, don't be irrational. Take a calculated risk, which I know we have referenced on the Matador Motivation before, but whatever way you want to do it, going down, sliding over, get to another ladder where you are succeeding, you are being happy with, you know, that you are happy while still taking care of your fulfillments and your duties to, you know, whoever you're, you know, whoever your responsibilities or whoever you're, you know, who's holding you accountable and whoever you're answering to, I guess is some way to put it, whether you're, you know, a wife, a husband, you know, father, a son, a daughter, a mother, whatever, any capacity, the people that you love and that you're answering to and that you're accountable for, you know, you got to make sure you take care of those people. And I'll say this too, Nick, I think this is applicable to all facets of your life as far as, you know, your job is one thing, but also if you're in a dead end relationship.
Yeah.
Let's say you see the writing on the wall and things are tough. You don't want to be stuck in the middle of that ladder. You want to be able to get off that ladder. Can be in a lot of, you know, again, with what we try to incorporate with these Matador Motivationals is something that is far reaching and spreads to, touches different areas of your life ultimately. And so, yeah, I mean, with relationships, with your job, with whatever it is you want to apply it to, don't be unhappy stuck in the middle of a ladder.
Right you are, Jackson. Nick, anything else?
No, I mean, you hit it pretty well, Jackson. Just take chances in life. Don't settle for, you know, being in the middle of a ladder. Just because you're on that ladder doesn't mean you need to stay on it.
Yep.
Right you are, Nick. Right
no,
you are.
No regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets.
All I can say is that was a hell of an episode. We are delighted to be on the microphones talking about Dewey Cox and about ladders that should not be climbed.
Jacob's ladder
being one of them. We're sorry about football. We are sorry sorry that
I
is.
I know the fans are holding us personally accountable for this pain and misery.
I'm so happy. I hope we don't have to talk about it anymore because it really hurts. It's too much. But we're done, guys. It was a great episode. I think, you know, this is life after Kansas. We'll find a way. We're resilient.
We're looking forward to basketball.
And we will be prosperous and get through this. But, yeah, we are looking forward to basketball. Men and women's teams are getting in the mix and getting in the action. So be ready for more content on that. Remember, guys, to follow us on everything, social media. We're at Ramblin' Raiders on Instagram, at Ramblin' Raiders on Twitter. We are also on Facebook with our page being Ramblin' Raiders Podcast. Don't forget to go check out our website, ramblinraiders.com. Get our, you know, see the merch on there. 10% is going to a good cause for, you know, so we can get presents out to all the kids that need them this year, helping out with that. But Lane was right. You gotta help us out. If we're going to,
you got to buy some gear.
You got to buy some gear, and then we'll throw in some of our own money. Our website also has badass pictures of us. Our episode's downloadable and
a picture of Jackson's cat
and a picture of my cat. He's the best.
And some write-ups.
Thank you, Nick, for that. You should speak up more often, man. You're really good at helping me fill the gaps there.
I'm just getting ready for the music, man. And here it comes.
Oh, there it is. All right. Well, boys, anything to say as we, you know, get into the Christmas season? Tis the season.
Hey, interact with us on social media. Keep your guns up as always.
Jump off that ladder.
Get off that ladder. Get on the right ladder. And get a ladder out for St. Nick. Lane, Nick, we out.